46, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I would invite you to kneel with me as we pray. Father, we are your children. You have made us. You have brought us here today to worship you. And Father, we want to be still. We want to know that you are God. We want you in our lives. And right now we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us, that we will hear your voice through Chelsea this morning. We pray for those that are not here for whatever reason, whether they're just visiting somewhere, whether they're sick, whether they're discouraged. Lord, we pray that you will be with each one. Keep them close to your heart. We thank you that you are a God that cares about all the things that happen to us. Your will be done in each of our lives, and may we go from here to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done. Amen.
Hi. Happy Sabbath. It's been a while since I've been on this part of the platform. I'm more used to that part, but try to settle into it. Happy Sabbath. Happy 2 days after Thanksgiving. Yay, we made it. It's a pretty fun holiday. We had gluten, of course, the best. I'm sorry, anyone that makes gluten, my mom's is better. I made a couple of pies. It was a lot of fun. I had people over. I also dropped my phone on my toe, which was cool. I'm glad I did that. To me, Thanksgiving is kind of a prelude to Christmas, which I know some people are like, how dare you? But that's just my opinion. But it's still a really good holiday. It's a lot of fun. You get to see people. And it's the start of that holiday season that's so cozy and it's nostalgic and there's family, there's all the different foods and the changing leaves, and then waking up in the morning only to realize you didn't make the two pies you were supposed to make ahead of time, and you'll have to roll out and par-bake the crust, and that's going to take the better part of an hour to get done. And then you also have to finish prepping green beans and make sure the green bean casserole gets in on time. And did you remember to buy the cranberry sauce last week? How many people are coming over? And what time are they coming over? That means that the stuffing has to go in now, and the sweet potatoes will have to go in 10 minutes, but don't forget to put the foil on the sweet potatoes and then take it off of the stuffing. That doesn't make any sense. And are those pies done yet? Where are we going to put those? We're running out of counter space. Where are the good dishes, the silverware? We still need to mop and vacuum, and there's dirty laundry on the bathroom floor, and where are my glasses, and we forgot to thaw the tofurkey, and someone needs to let the dog out, and someone is here early, and I haven't done my hair or my makeup. Is something burning? How's everyone's blood pressure doing? Heart rate? Let's see, my heart rate is 140. Nice. New record. Oh, the holidays. A few years ago, I actually started working at a Fred Meyer up in Beaverton, Oregon. That's right outside of Portland, so, you know, just a small Fred Meyer. There's not that many people. I'm lying. My first day of work was kind of an introduction. It was really short. They were just showing me the basic ropes, and then the second day, they just cut me loose. It was a sink or swim, and really hope that you swim. But the real problem was that my second day of work was Thanksgiving Day. And I don't know how many of you have been to a grocery store on Thanksgiving Day, but it is a war zone, okay? Everyone has forgotten something. And they don't want to be there, though, because they want to get back to the house ASAP because they have to, like, cook food, watch football, wrangle a toddler into their nice clothes and keep them from getting into dirt. No one wants to be there. And they're always trying to find the one ingredient that they thought they got 2 days ago, but it turns out that was buttermilk and not heavy whipping cream. Or it's the men that were sent by their wives to get some kind of cornbread thing, but they're actually not sure what kind of cornbread thing or what it even looks like or where they would find it in the store. Obviously, I don't know either. And then everyone and their mother is there to pick up French's fried onions. I'm not kidding. Everyone came to that store looking for French's fried onions, and incidentally, no one knows where French's fried onions are kept, including me, the employee who just started working here. They're in the capped by the canned vegetables, by the way, just future reference. Usually pretty prominently displayed because of this. It was like all the stress and anxiety and anger of that holiday got concentrated into a single store, and we, the employees, were just hostages trying to survive. On the bright side, that was probably the worst day of work I had there. It was all uphill from there. I didn't work there much longer. But still, the holidays are really awesome and also really rough. We have a lot to do, and somehow there's never enough time to do it, and no matter how early you think you've started. And that starts to take a toll, which is what makes it really important for us to remember to slow down. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for bringing us here together, for these holiday seasons that we have. Lord, please be with me today. Give me words and wisdom. Let your Spirit speak through me and be with our congregation today. Give them ears to hear what you have to say to them. In your name I pray, dear Lord. Amen. So, how are you feeling today? That's a question that I ask at work a lot. I'm a massage therapist, which is the definition of a touchy-feely profession. It's my entire job. And it's really important for me to know how people are doing and feeling physically, mentally, emotionally, all of those things. Physically, obviously, that lets me know, what are we working on? Do you want to just do full body relaxation massage, or do you want me to just, like, really get into your shoulder blades? I can do either one, but I need to know where you're at for that. And then things like being under a lot of stress, feeling kind of down or depressed, that can make you actually more sensitive to deep pressure, so that's something that's important for me to know. How sensitive are you going to be? How receptive to my touch are you going to be? This is a chart. You've probably seen this kind of thing before, maybe not with emojis, but it's the best picture I could find. They're used with kids. It's a way that helps kids express emotions that they may not have words for yet. They can just point at the little funny face that looks like what they feel inside. It's nice, but I like this chart better. That's my dog, Thor. Which Thor are you today? I'm feeling that bottom middle one. I don't know what that mood is, but I feel it. He has a lot of feelings, mostly about food, belly rubs, and the FedEx man. Lots of feelings. That's one of the nice things about dogs is when they feel something, they feel it all in, and they let you know about it. And you know who else had a lot of feelings? David. That guy went through quite a few things, didn't he? Going through the Psalms, it's a roller coaster. Here's one, Psalm 6. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. Wow. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping. First of all, been there. Secondly, that's some really intense emotions that are being expressed there. David really didn't shy away from that thing. You can go through the Psalms, and there's highs, there's lows, there's everywhere in between. There's a lot of lows, though. And he talks about it. And yet he's also called a man after God's own heart. And you know what else we can read in the Psalms? Our verse for the day, Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still, or another way to say it, slow down. There's a lot of different things that we can mean when we say slow down, and today I'm focusing on one angle, which is emotion, because that's my wheelhouse. I'm an emotional person. I love emotions. I love psychology. And I like to start this conversation by quickly defining some of the terms that we have at play, because a lot of times we might be using the same words, but we're not meaning the same thing, so I want to make sure we're kind of on the same page here. In this case, we often think of the terms emotions, feelings, and mood as sort of interchangeable. Technically, they're not. They all mean something different. I'll try to keep this brief because I know this is probably more exciting to me than it is to most people. An emotion is, according to the American Psychological Association, a complex reaction pattern involving experiential, behavioral, and physiological elements, which is just a lot of big words. Basically, emotions involve a subjective experience, which is the stimuli that triggers the emotion, so that can be something like hearing your favorite song, getting cut off in traffic, losing a loved one, hearing a baby laugh. Those trigger the start of the emotional response. It's considered subjective because everyone is going to respond differently. And that's why it's subjective. Then there's the physiological response. This is what happens in your body. We like to think of emotions as this thing in your mind, as if your mind is somehow separate from your body, but it's not. Your brain is an organ. It's all connected. It's all part of each other. Things like that butterfly feeling in your stomach that I'm getting right now, the clenching of your jaw, the accelerated heart rate, relaxing your muscles when you feel calm. Those are all physiological responses and part of the emotional process. And finally, we have the behavioral response. This is actually how you express the emotions, which can be facial expressions. It can also be your body language, smiling, laughing, shouting, things like that. Anything that is the outward expression of what's going on internally. And it's actually a really important part of the emotional process because, first of all, it helps you connect socially, which even for us introverts is actually very important. We are social animals still. But it also relieves stress and tension. Suppressing the expression portion of the emotional process actually has a measurable impact on things like your heart rate, your blood pressure, your memory, and just general stress levels. It's literally unhealthy to suppress emotional responses. Feelings are how we consciously experience the emotions. It's the way that you feel, both physically and mentally. It's classified similarly to hunger and pain. Mood is an emotional state that doesn't have a definite starting point or stimuli that set it off. You just feel that way. It's when you wake up in the morning and you cannot deal with people for a while for no particular reason. That's a mood. And this is all really interesting to me because we think of emotions as something that just happens to us. He made me angry. She made me sad. That scared me. But really, emotions are super complicated. And they come from within us. They are how our brain is interpreting information as it comes in. They are how we take meaning from the things that our senses are telling us. It's an important part of cognition. And it's not something we can do away with. If you're tired, you're prone to being a bit more impatient, right? That's because your physical sensations, your physical body can also impact your mood. Being hangry, that's another example. When you're hungry and also kind of mad about being hungry, been there. And here's kind of an extreme example of this. I'm diagnosed with something called panic disorder. I've talked about this a little bit before up here. Basically, I'm prone to panic attacks, which is something anyone can have, but I get them a little easier. And a panic attack is a really physical experience. Here's a little blue man having a rough day. Not sure if you can read that, but that's okay. I'm going to tell it to you anyways. My heart rate spikes up. I feel short of breath, chest pain, shakiness, sweating. My face gets hot. My hands and feet might get numb or tingly. One of the symptoms of a panic attack is literally a feeling of impending doom. That's a fun one. you can see why from 2009 to 2011 there was an average of 1,247,000 anxiety-related emergency room visits each year. A lot of people think they're having a heart attack when they have their first panic attack because it's physical. But the other thing that you might notice about those symptoms, the heart rate, shortness of breath, feeling hot, sweating, is it kind of sounds like what happens when you work out. So since emotions are your brain's way of interpreting stimuli, and sometimes your brain takes a few shortcuts, a lot of people with panic disorders, such as myself, can trigger a panic attack by doing some cardio. My brain just goes, ah, yes, I know this feeling. Time to panic. And then I'm having a breakdown on a treadmill. Like I said, panic attacks are kind of an extreme example, and panic tends to take over your rational thinking, so it's hard to interrupt that process. But it's the same concept with less intense emotions as well. Your physical feeling can impact your emotional expression. Muscle tension in your jaw and shoulders can make you feel grumpy or stressed. Tiredness can feel a lot like being sad or down, and you're just short on sleep. There was even a study done that was really fun to look at pictures from, where they put a little contraption on people's head that pulled their mouths into just a slight smile. And actually, those people reported better mood than the control group that wasn't wearing the weird head contraption. Possibly because they looked funny, I'm not sure. But your physical body is actually super closely linked to your mind and your mental well-being. And that's oftentimes overlooked and forgotten. We kind of think of them as separate. They're not. Together. Two halves. From a biblical perspective, what are emotions? Well, we aren't given a clear definition of emotion in the Bible, but we sure do get a lot of examples. Once again, David. Dude really just let it all out. Good for him. He went through intense highs and lows throughout his life. And as I mentioned earlier, he's described as being a man after God's own heart. Because you see, God is an emotional God. Jeremiah 32:41. I will rejoice over them to do them good and will faithfully plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. Ezekiel 5:13. Thus my anger will be spent and I will satisfy my wrath on them. I will be appeased. They will know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal when I have spent my wrath upon them. Exodus 33:19. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt you, exult over you with loud singing. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Our emotions are a reflection of our Creator. The difference is that his emotions are untouched by sin and selfishness. And that is the kind of emotion he wants us to experience as well. Emotion drives action. That's part of the behavioral portion of the process. It drives action, and that gives, given that our emotions are corrupted by sin, we can't always be sure that the action we're being driven towards is a good one. Emotions are a gauge, not a guide. They give us information and report to us what a situation means to us, but they can't actually tell us what the best course of action is from there, or even what to do at all. You hopefully have a temperature gauge in your car. If you don't, you might want to speak to a mechanic about that. This gauge lets you know what the temperature is within the engine. That lets you know if it gets too hot, at which point the car will scream at you, if it's like mine, and tell you to check coolant, but pretty much nothing else. What am I checking for? What am I supposed to, what does coolant look like? What, I don't. So now your car's upset, and the gauge says it's in the red zone, which means it's overheating, so you fill it with more coolant. Cool. That seems logical. Then the next day, though, it's doing it again, and you just refilled it, so maybe you can look at it when you get back home. But then the next thing you know, you're almost home, and your car is billowing smoke, and there's an upset dog in the back of the car, and you have to send one sister up the hill to try and get a different car to bring you the rest of the way home. But then when she gets back, you realize that maybe you shouldn't leave your car there, and so you kind of limp it up the hill, but going uphill makes it hot again, and so then there's more smoke. And then you give up and go the rest of the way home in a different car. Not that I would know anything about that, personally. Thank you for believing me. The gauge is giving you really important information, but it can't actually tell you how to progress from there. And frankly, it can't even tell you what's actually wrong. In this case, there was a pretty significant leak in my coolant system. You know that things are either A, operating as intended, or B, not operating as intended. Beyond that, it's up to you and your rational brain to figure out what are the next steps, preferably the steps that won't lead to something on fire. Emotions drive action, but they shouldn't be behind the steering wheel. So how exactly do you figure out what to do with those gauges? Well, you slow down. Let's take a moment here to do that, actually. Slow down. Here, put these little faces up there. Right now, just for a few moments, I want you to feel what you feel. There's no judgment. You're not trying to control or influence. Just feel and notice what you're feeling. Observe it. Start with the physical. Notice places where you're tense, maybe your shoulders, your neck, your hands. Maybe you feel a tightness in your chest or stomach. Maybe your eyes are feeling tired. Wake up. Maybe you have pain somewhere. Then I want you to notice how you feel emotionally. Try to figure out where the emotions are showing up in your body, if they're showing up at all. Sometimes, especially if we're a bit out of practice, it can be hard to put actual words to the feeling that you have, so don't worry about labeling it. Just feel it. And now from here, you can ask yourself, where is that feeling coming from? Did something happen today or this week that's making you stressed or upset? Maybe something positive happened and you're still riding that high. Maybe you're just worried about something coming up in the future. And maybe you just really want to take a nap. Again, wake up. Notice it. Feel it. We move so fast in our world today that we don't often take time to just feel things. You know, historically, when someone has passed away, there were mourning periods of days, months, or even years that had very specific customs that were followed during that time. Funerals today last an average of between 40 and 60 minutes. Just sitting and feeling can be uncomfortable, especially if you've been taught that feeling is somehow a weakness. But it isn't. We were created in the image of our God, and we are created this way for a reason. Slowing down and just feeling has a purpose, because if emotion is going to drive us to action, we need to be in control of what that action is. This is one of my favorite verses. Or portions of a verse, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 4. For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. In our world today, we sometimes have to make time more than our ancestors maybe needed to because we have a lot going on all the time. Here's Thor again in his pajamas. Yes, my dog wears clothes. No, I will not apologize. I'll work him into any conversation I can, so it's not really surprising that he's showing up twice in a sermon. He's a very sweet boy, but he has a problem that a lot of dogs have, especially dogs with a lot of feelings. He's what we call reactive. You may have heard people call dogs aggressive. Aggressive is kind of a useless term, unless you're referring to a specific behavior. It doesn't tell you anything about where the problem behavior is coming from, why it's happening, what you can do about it. Very few dogs are aggressive just for aggression's sake. Usually that aggressive behavior, like barking, lunging, growling, snapping, and biting, are actually reacting to a stimuli that they find threatening, frightening, or overwhelming. Thor is reactive to things that are scary, and also to things that are really fun. Because you see, in dogs' brains, the emotional state of excitement is actually really close to aggression. There's the same kind of intensity and emotional arousal and energy level. So for a dog, it's really easy for the brain to just tip from, I'm so super excited right now, into, I'm gonna kill it. Thor likes other dogs. He loves other dogs. And he wants to meet other dogs. But when he's on a leash, he can't just run up to them all willy-nilly, which is completely unfair. So he gets frustrated. And then the emotional state of excitement gets a little kick from frustrated and turns into small, angry fluff ball barking and growling and lunging at strange dogs who are larger than him by several orders of magnitude. He was tackled by a Rottweiler once, but she was trying to play. She just didn't realize he was 15 pounds and she was 100. It's really embarrassing when he does this in public because it's quite a show. And you can imagine a 15-pound dog throwing a little temper tantrum. You've probably seen it, in fact. He doesn't have the cognitive ability to take a step back, though. It's not his fault. He's not able to ask himself, what am I really upset about right now? And what would be a more mature and sensible way to deal with this? He's a dog. He's smart, but he's not like full-blown problem-solving and personal self-improvement smart. We, however, are capable of stepping back and working through a problem and emotion rationally. When we are reactive, we are letting our emotions be the boss, and we are acting like Thor. And you don't want to act like Thor. That's a dangerous position to be in, because our emotions drive action, but that action isn't always a good choice or even a useful one. Like panic on the treadmill driving you to prepare to run away from running. Thanks, brain. Or feeling embarrassed by someone and lashing out in anger. Feeling hurt and withdrawing into yourself away from people who love you. It is okay to feel what you feel. It is okay to take time to think about what you feel. To make space for yourself. Give yourself time. Slow down. It can feel weird or silly or uncomfortable, but I promise it is okay. And it gets easier with practice. But there's one more critical step to slowing down that we have to take, and that's one that's actually modeled by our Savior. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and told his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Keep watching and praying that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus had emotion, powerful, agonizing emotion. And he took time over and over again in the Gospels to take a step back and not only feel those things, but bring them to his Father. Jesus frequently in the Bible went off by himself, in between times being around people, healing people, loving people. He took time to be by himself, to process things, to speak with his Father, and to determine what actions should really be taken next. His emotions were real, but they weren't in charge. He was. We were created in the image of our God, and Christ is our model and our guide. We can feel stressed out and emotional any time of year, but things can feel a little more concentrated around the holidays. So during the hustle and bustle of the overwhelming chaos of the holiday season, take time to just step back, feel what you feel, and like Jesus, and like David, bring those feelings before our Father. Let your emotions be the gauge, and let God be your guide. Be still and know. Slow down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here, for getting me through what I needed to say. Please teach us all to slow down, to be in tune with the emotions that you gave us, and give us understanding and wisdom as we process those and move forward from them. Give us strength and courage in the things that we face, and please go with all of the congregation here today back to their homes and be with them throughout their lives, throughout the week, until we come back together again. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.